You're listening to Insight on Capital Public Radio. I'm Beth Ruyak. On Wednesday, when Pope Francis performs his papal mass and the canonization of Father Junipero Serra in Washington, D.C., a Sacramento pastor, Father Ken Lavaroni of St. Francis of Assisi Parish, will participate. Now, the Pope's visit to the U.S. is expected to draw huge crowds, as his visit to Cuba is right now. He'll be there through Tuesday. But the canonization of Father Serra has been controversial. Father Ken is on the phone. He's joining us from Washington, D.C. Hello, Father Ken.
Good afternoon, Beth. I'm glad to be with you today.
Would you describe a little more about your role in the ceremony? I guess you have the title of Vice Postulator for the Cause of the Canonization.
That's correct. I am the co-vice postulator for the cause of the canonization of Father Junipero Serra. And I have been chosen because of this role to proclaim the biography of Father Serra at the very beginning of the canonization liturgy on Wednesday afternoon. It's about 500 words that kind of begins the liturgy of proclaiming who this man is that Pope Francis will be canonizing at the Mass.
In the church bulletin a couple weeks ago, I read in your comment to parishioners that this was a wonderful privilege for you because you've admired Father Serra, but you also wrote, "I'm now much more aware of his imperfections and the problems that colonization brought to the land we live in today." So talk to me about what your early perception was of Father Serra and what you see now.
Well, having grown up in Mission San Juan Bautista in fact, many generations of my family have been part of that mission. And as a child, learning fourth grade California mission history, and hearing about Father Serra even prior to that, I was always admired that the great work and the effort he did to bring the faith to California and the building of the mission system, which I saw as part of our California patrimony. But as I grew in a deeper study of Serra and the efforts of colonization and evangelization, there is also a dark side to that that affected the native California people at that time. And I think that's one of the major critiques we have or that we're receiving from the descendants of those California natives, that their culture was destroyed and the church evangelization, Jesus himself, was imposed upon the native people. That's a particular point of view, and there are other particular points of view that are not as strong. But there is a definite sense that, yes, the culture was usurped by the Spanish culture because of colonization and because of evangelization. But in fact, this is not an unusual event that this occurs all the time with colonization. It's happened throughout our world. It happened on the East Coast of the United States and in other places where Western Europeans came into the New World.
Some people have characterized this as a slight or an insult then to Native Americans, and others have wondered if it's too soon, if Pope Francis shouldn't have waited a little longer so there could be more discussion about this. Do you understand either of those points of view?
I do. I greatly admire Pope Francis. Pope Francis does not do anything without seriously considering all the sides of an issue and the ramifications of any decision he makes. He's a very, very bright man. And I believe that the fact that he did announce this is what precipitated the current discussions and the movements within the California Catholic Church and the Franciscan Friars to address the concerns and the needs of the current descendants of the California Indians. So if Pope Francis would have not made the announcement on January 19th, we would have never made any headway and had no reason to make any headway to move in the direction of a greater sense of understanding and dialogue, and hopefully to correct some of the wrongs that we currently experience with the curriculum of education and the way in which the California Indians are being portrayed in the California missions.
What are your parishioners saying to you about this, is it a mixed picture? And the other aspect is about this being the first saint of Latin descent. Is that important to the people you minister to?
Well, the parishioners at St. Francis, it's a mixed bag. Some of them, I celebrated Mass this last weekend, and some of them were very excited and proud and are looking forward to the canonization and my participation in it. Others are very clear that they're not in favor of it. And I will be giving a symposium or a lecture, I guess you want to call it, on Sarah in a couple of weeks at the parish, as well as one at the neighboring parish, Sacred Heart, in a few more weeks. And hopefully people will come and we can have an open dialogue about some of the concerns. There's not going to be ever going to be any complete agreement, as on most issues there is not a complete agreement. But I think that that some of the people's feelings are informed maybe at one level and not broadly informed. So, you know, I think that this is an opportunity to inform people. And this is the first canonization of a person of Hispanic descent, Hispanic being mainly being Spanish, which might be a difficulty for some people who feel that Hispanic only refers to the Hispanic Americas. But in fact, he is, in a broad sense, Hispanic and the first Hispanic to be canonized for the Americas.
You're listening to Father Ken Lavaroni. He is from St. Francis of Assisi Parish in Sacramento. On Wednesday, during the canonization of Father Junipero Serra, Father Ken will proclaim the biography of Father Serra in Spanish. The Pope is known for improvising, Father Ken, and apparently that just happened with two speeches he gave in Cuba. Do you think we might hear some words in the liturgy Wednesday that address the conflict in some way?
I would not be a bit surprised. I don't know. Probably in his homily, I would guess. I don't know if there is another time that he may make reference to the conflicts. But knowing Pope Francis as he is, as a reconciler and a calling people together, I really think he will say, make some reference. I have no clue what that will be, but I would be surprised if he didn't.
And one other aspect that's a little bit different, it's happened before, but rather than the two miracles which canonization is typically based on, mm-hmm. apparently in this case it's one miracle. And can you tell me more about that?
Sure. The for someone to be declared the last step before canonization, one must be declared blessed. And so Pope John Paul II declared Junipero Serra blessed in 1988, and there was a miracle at that time to move him to that direction. We have been working since then, looking for a second miracle. We have had many people claim very deep devotion to Serra and that he has answered their favors through in prayer. Even some have claimed that they have been healed through his intercession, but they have been not. These claims have not been sufficient enough to proceed through a proof to the Holy See that there's sufficient material there to declare a miracle. But the Pope can do whatever he wants, and he can dispense of these kind of rules or these policies, procedures, and he has done so for Junipero Serra, just as he had done so for St. John the 23rd, as well as St. Peter Faber of the Jesuits.
In the New York Times on Friday, there was an op-ed by Sacramento Bishop Francis Quinn. I don't know whether you saw it, but the title is How the Pope Might Renew the Church. And these are comments that Bishop Quinn has made to friends and people in Sacramento. He spoke with us on Insight. The point I want to get to is, does this canonization of Father Serra help in that renewal or openness of the church, and in what way?
Well, I'm very much aware of the Bishop Quinn's thoughts. He and I have spoke about these things ourselves, and so what he wrote in his op-ed, it was nothing new to me. But I don't see that that Pope Francis's canonization of Serra is going to in any way enhance or promote the issues that Bishop Quinn wrote in his op-ed. Most of what Pope Francis is doing in terms of changes are more disciplinary or procedural changes. In addition to a change of attitude and a change of posture of the church toward lots of things, Pope Francis is not changing any doctrinal elements, or and some of what Bishop Quinn was referring to, some of those things are considered by many doctrinal changes. I don't think those are going to happen. How we deal with those doctrinal changes could change, but the objective doctrine is not going to change in itself, and I don't think Pope Francis is going to change that. But it's how we respond to those things that could be changed in pastoral practice.
Well, before I let you go, you're celebrating Mass with the Pope, and I imagine you'll be standing close to him. Are you going to spend time? Will you have conversation with him while you're there?
I doubt it.
You know, well, that's honest.
There's a lot bigger fish in that sea on Wednesday than me. Okay, so, but I will have the opportunity to at least shake his hand and greet him. I know that. Beyond that, I'll tell you more after Wednesday. At this point, I don't have a clue.
There's a big Sacramento contingent out there, and I guess Cordy Brothers is providing wine. And would you explain, Mary Rose Jelisich from Sacramento has a link to the ceremony.
Right. Mary Rose designed, along with Father Ron Schmidt from the Diocese of Oakland, she designed and fabricated the reliquary that the relic of Junipero Serra is placed into, that will be presented to the Pope during the liturgy by Andy Galvin, who is an Ohlone Indian, a descendant of Ohlone Indians. So, yes, her reliquary will be presented to the Pope. Procession, it will be placed in a prominent place during the canonization liturgy itself.
Well, there's a live broadcast of the service at the church, and we'll post links as well. And we've asked if you'll send us a few pictures. And I guess the final point is for you to explain in your own words what this means to be part of this part of history.
Well, you know, I've been trying to think about that, but I've been pretty occupied and preoccupied with the canonization as well as my regular duties. So I don't think it's hit me quite yet. I think in a day or so, my knees may start shaking a bit. But I've been practicing my reading of the biography in Spanish with several different people, and I hope I don't stumble over that. But it is a great honor, and I have to laugh because I wasn't saying too much to people about it, but I told my mother, and she's been telling everybody under the sun that her son's going to be with the Pope on the 23rd. So, but I find it be an honor, exciting, and I'm very much looking forward to it.
Father Ken, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
I appreciate the conversation.
Okay.
Enjoy the time out there. That is Father Ken Lavaroni. And we will have more about the story, including links, as we referred to, for the viewing of Wednesday's Papal Mass. And that's at capradio.org/insight. You're listening to Insight on Capital Public Radio. Mm-hmm.